The unexamined life is not worth living. Knowing who you are is important. Knowing who you're not is perhaps more important. How much time have you spent investing in understanding what your spiritual gift is and what it might look like to be equipped to have the maximum impact with your life? The shortness of life. Life is a breath. And to see Jesus at the end of life and hear his words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's not a general commendation from Jesus. It's specific to the gifts that he's given us and how we have stewarded them. So we've been in this sermon series called Finding My Place, 1 Corinthians 12 through 14. And we've looked through some of these messages. The first week, we looked at chapter 12, verses 1 through 11, concerning spiritual gifts. We gave some definition to spiritual gifts. Chapter 12, verses 12 through 31, the title was, "We are a body, the body of Christ, many parts, one body." And then last week, 1 Corinthians 13, a still more excellent way, love. We looked at this last Sunday and it was awesome. And so there are more important chapters coming, chapter 14 namely, and it is very good. It gets into speaking in tongues. It gets into corporate worship, what it is to look like. If you've ever heard of the Bible talking about head coverings, I mean, we're going into chapter 14. So that's coming. But this week, I want to do something. I want to, and this very much fits into this series, I want to give everyone an opportunity to take a spiritual gift assessment. We're going to do that this morning in this time together. Before we do it, I want to do a more general sort of basic teaching on spiritual gifts, sort of a overview of spiritual gifts. And some of what I cover will be things that we saw briefly as we went through chapters 12 and 13, and some of what we look at this morning will be new. But the title of the message this morning is Discovering Your Spiritual Gift. Discovering Your Spiritual Gift. And so we're going to look at a lot of passages this morning. And so if you have a Bible, if you have a phone or a tablet, and you can stay with me, hey, mad props to you if you can do it. I think we have 27 slides and a lot of verses this morning. But you don't have to. You can just take notes and learn as we do this overview of spiritual gifts and then as we take this assessment together. So today is a little more like teaching than it is preaching. But let me just read one little verse and then pray before we begin. And this is going to come from 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. And this will be part of our next week's sermon. Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. Let's pray for that. God, we pray that you would help us to not only desire spiritual gifts, but to earnestly desire to be servants of Jesus Christ, being faithful in operating with the spiritual gift that you've given us to make an impact in this life. Lord, may you open our minds to perhaps your calling being different for us than we think it is, even as we walk in here today. We pray that you would just teach us and encourage us, and Holy Spirit, would you fill us? Would you more and more and more fill Fellowship Raleigh and the members of this church? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we have a 3-4-3 outline. We're going to look at three things, then four things, then three things. That's what that means. So three things I want to look at first. Three false and confusing teachings on spiritual gifts. Three false and confusing teachings on spiritual gifts. Here's the first one. This is false. And I like on each point, I write false at the beginning because you got to be so careful when you teach the wrong stuff. Someone will write it down and like tweet it after the service, like, "My pastor said this today, it was fire." And you're like, "No, that's wrong." So, okay. False. Spiritual giftedness is a sign of spiritual maturity. That's not true. Giftedness is not a sign of maturity. We must grow in our character. And when we grow in our character, that's when God can use us. And the gifts that He gives us are useless if we do not have Christ-like character. Look at the qualifications of a spiritual leader in 1 Timothy chapter 3 or in Titus chapter 1. I want you to do that later, and I want you to see how astoundingly unastounding the qualities are. It's just character qualities. The only gift there is the gift of teaching, which presumably just has to do with being able to defend the Christian faith if you're a spiritual leader. But listen, the point is this. Character is what's most important. And so spiritual giftedness, someone who has great gifts, someone who's very gifted, is not a sign of spiritual maturity. Sometimes you hear people talk about, oh, if that person would just become a follower of Jesus Christ, it'd be amazing what God would do through them. And I always cringe a little bit when I hear that, because I can hear in that, and I've said stuff like that, but I can hear the focus of, oh, what God could do if He could get a hold of that person's gifts. God doesn't need that person's gifts. God needs that person's life surrendered and yielded to Him. The whole point of the Christian life is about being like Christ. And so it's about character. You look at 1 Samuel 16:7. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And so it is a very false understanding that spiritual giftedness is a sign of maturity. It may not be. It may be, but it may not be. Next one. Also false, natural skills are the same as spiritual gifts. Or maybe you might write in there, always the same. Natural gifts or natural skills are the same as spiritual gifts. So just a little recap. We gave a definition of spiritual gifts in one of the sermons recently, and I'll put it up on the screen, but also known as a grace gift, a spiritual gift is a supernatural ability empowered by the Holy Spirit to display the glory of God to grow the church. And you'll see this little image here showing how they can be overlapping, but they are not the same. They are not the same. If you think about it, in the book of 1 Timothy, Paul tells Timothy in chapter 1, verse 6, to fan into flame the gift that was given to him by the laying on of Paul's hands. Now, if Timothy, as a grown man, received a gift when Paul put his hands on his shoulders and prayed for him, that means that was not his natural ability. Hello? Couldn't be more clear. Do we have natural abilities? Yes. Are they from God? Yes. What do we have that we did not get from God? Nothing. Psalm 139 says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. So we have natural abilities, and those are, in a way, gifts too. But spiritual gifts are something different. They come at conversion. I love this quote from British scholar J.I. Packer. He says, among the variety of God's gifts, some are natural abilities and character qualities sanctified. That's that little overlapping area right there in the middle of the circles. While others correspond to nothing that was previously seen in the person's life. Little story. When I was a freshman at Florida State and was becoming a serious disciple of Jesus Christ, was starting to really walk with the Lord on my own, and I remember checking out a Bible study on campus, and it was run by Campus Crusade for Christ. I think they go by Crew now. And I remember getting involved and being kind of new. And I grew up in the church, but I really wasn't mature as a Christian yet. And I noticed they had a real emphasis on evangelism. And I'm, you know, pretty, you know, outspoken or whatever. And so I am noticing this. And so I'm like, you know what? I need to get a meeting with the director and talk with him about how I'm going to be here and be part of this, but I'm not doing that. And so I get a meeting with them at Boston Market, and I can remember meeting with him, and I don't know where I came up with this. It's so cheesy. I mean, this was just the beginning of all the cheesiness that you guys experience in sermons sometimes. But I said to him, listen, man, I am a keeper of the aquarium. I'm not a fisher of men. I mean, I literally just came up with that as a freshman in college. I should have been expelled from Florida State for that. And he was like, okay. I was like, yeah, I just want to make it really clear up front. I'm putting this big wall up, and I'm telling you, and I'm telling God how to use me. And you could feel the wall. It was this resistance. It was this, I don't do that. And wouldn't you know that he was real gracious? Okay. But over the next few years, I became equipped in how to share my faith. And God profoundly used me at the number one party school in the United States at that time to lead over, you know, 10, maybe 20 people to faith, just classmates and people I met in intramurals, because God began to use me in a way that didn't at all correspond to what I understood to be my natural ability. What happened? I got equipped. What happened? I sort of let the wall come down and let God begin to work through me. It wasn't me, though. And that's how spiritual gifts are. And so it's so important that we see this. Now, personality tests, anybody know their Enneagram number? Anybody know their sort of, are you an ENTJ or an ENFP? Does anybody know these things? We all like these things. They're great. But they have their limitation, don't they? Because what they really are kind of seeing is who you want to be, number one. But they're also really just looking at our natural abilities. And that is from God. It's a gift from God. And so we celebrate that and we need to steward that too. But it is limited. And spiritual gifts, we must take into consideration what the body of Christ, people around us are saying, what God has used us for in the past and how God is maybe ready to use us in the future through doors that he's opening in front of us or needs that he's making apparent before us. So spiritual gifts are different. So I just want to make sure we get that clear. That's false. Natural skills are the same as spiritual gifts. False. All right, next one and third one and final one. False. Certain spiritual gifts make you a 2.0 Christian. Certain spiritual gifts make you a 2.0 Christian, meaning there are 1.0 Christians and there are 2.0 Christians. So you can kind of see this little diagram. You got the 1.0 Christian who kind of always stays below the dotted line. And you got the 2.0 Christian who gets above that dotted line and maybe goes below it at times, but has this experience of being a 2.0 Christian, which makes them better than a 1.0 Christian. Now, the dotted line can be a lot of things, right? It can be some cultural marker or distinctive. But oftentimes and sometimes we see people say that certain spiritual gifts are that dotted line. And so you look at someone, you're like, oh, poor 1.0 Christian. Haven't received that spiritual gift. We'll pray for you. We do it in other ways, though, too, don't we? It could be just sort of a level of knowledge. Maybe you just aren't educated, or you just don't know enough theology, or you don't know all the fancy words we use at Fellowship Raleigh to talk about the Christian life. You poor 1.0 Christian. God hates that stuff. Think about in the church in Galatia, Galatians 3:28, where Paul says, there's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. So even if it is God's heart that every Christian should aspire to certain spiritual gifts, or even to certain levels of knowledge about their faith, maybe a certain theology or just some sort of understanding. Even if that is God's heart for people to get there, it is never God's heart for us to walk around with a 1.0, 2.0 Christian mentality. Wherever we see a flicker of that mindset in our lives, in the mirror, or around us in our community group, we should immediately dump the fire extinguisher of God's word all over it. Because that's not going somewhere good. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. Ephesians teaches that at the point of conversion, we are indwelt with the Holy Spirit. You will never have more of the Holy Spirit than you have the moment you say yes to Jesus. Now, it's a different question to ask, does Jesus have all of you? But you have all of the Holy Spirit you will ever get at the moment of conversion. But we are called in Ephesians 5 to be filled, continuously filled with the Holy Spirit, which means an ongoing filling that controls our lives, a yielding, and that is the Holy Spirit getting more of us. So, the false point here is that certain spiritual gifts make you a 2.0 Christian. We know that's not true, and we'll get into some of the more miraculous gifts next week in 1 Corinthians 14. But before we do, it's really important. There are no 1.0 and 2.0 Christians. Thank God, goodness, right? Because we'd all be 1.0 Christians, and this is a 1.0 church, right? Amen. All right, enough with the false things. Let's take the false things out. Let's set them aside. Let's look at the four correct, helpful teachings on spiritual gifts. Here we go. Number one, and some of this is stuff we've looked at, but let's just see it here. Every true Christian has been given a spiritual gift. Every true Christian has been given a spiritual gift. You say, well, what is a true Christian? Well, that is a good question. Let's just go down the Romans road for a second there. So in Romans chapter 3, Paul also wrote Romans. It says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So if you can agree that you weren't born perfect and you haven't been perfect, then you agree that all have sinned. And Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. But how do you get the gift? The gift of Jesus Christ dying in your place. Romans 5:8 says, God demonstrated his love for us in this, that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. How do you get that, though? How do you lay hold of that? It's not enough to know about that. You have to get it. How do you get it? Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you will be saved. Believe in Jesus. And so that's a true Christian. And so everyone who's done that, have you done that? And if you say, I'm not sure, then brother or sister, don't leave today with that unsettled. And if you're not sure, then perhaps you haven't. So become a true Christian. Become a follower, a believer in Jesus. And every true Christian has been given a spiritual gift. And we see that in 1 Corinthians 12. It says, now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit, variety of services, but the same Lord, variety of activities, but the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Four correct and helpful teachings. Let's look at the second one. Second one, all right? God determines each Christian's gift, and every gift is needed. God determines each Christian's gift, and every gift is needed. And so as we look at our spiritual gifts later, and we take this assessment, and as you consider whether your gift is needed, whether it would impact Fellowship Raleigh for you to not serve with your gift, I want you to consider this point. Every gift is needed. 1 Corinthians 12:11, all these are empowered by the one same Spirit who apportioned to each one individually as He wills. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as He chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, many parts, one body. So what do we see here? It says, as He wills, God arranged. It says, many parts, one body, all essential. So again, God determines each Christian's gift. Every gift is needed. Third one. The purpose of spiritual gifts is for the common good and to build up the church. The purpose of spiritual gifts is for the common good and to build up the church. I know as I go through these, there are some of you who maybe have the spiritual gift of administration, or maybe you're just a little bit more organized, and you're like, where's the insert this week? Like, I'm trying to fill in these blanks, and you didn't give it to us. And you're like, getting like sort of a holy passion about it right now. And let me just tell you, that might be a pointer to what your spiritual gift might be and how you might be able to serve in this church. But we could have had the insert, but we were giving you so much. We gave you a flyer, and we're about to pass something else out, so we're just sort of, we don't want to overwhelm anybody. The notes for this sermon will be available later. So here we go, third point. The purpose of spiritual gifts is for the common good and to build up the church. All right? So look at 1 Corinthians 12:7. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. That's the common good of the church at Corinth, the local church. Ephesians 4, he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers to, what's it say, equip the saints for the work of ministry. There's a couple things we got to see here. The gifts are given for the common good. So when we have this mindset of my gift, and when we think of it in terms of sort of self-fulfillment, self-actualization, optimizing our life, the four-hour work week, getting all sort of, you know, excited about being really fulfilled as a Christian. That some of that's really good and we should pursue that. The Christian life is supposed to be joyful and meaningful and awesome. But we got to be careful that our self-care doesn't become selfish. And we have to realize that we don't, it's not my gift, it's not my time, it's not my talents, it's God's. And it's for the common good. And Ephesians 4:11 is interesting too. You see that it says that these gifts were given, what does it say? It says to equip the saints for the work of ministry. So while a pastor or a shepherd or an evangelist, they are also a saint, so they also do the work of ministry because they are saints, but at the same time, their role in a big part is to equip who? The saints for what? The work of ministry. Mind blown, right? Because some of us think the pastors do the ministry and we sit and receive the ministry. But here, if the scripture says the pastor equips you and you do the ministry. The pastor is Bobby Boucher, the water boy, and you're on the front lines. You're on the field. Number four. Failed 90s movie reference. Number four. With each spiritual gift comes responsibility to use it. Luke 19, couple different verses here, but let me show you this. Luke 19. I'm just going to read excerpts of this. I'd encourage you to read this whole passage, 11 through 27 later, but look, Jesus tells this story. Verse 11, as they heard these things, he proceeded to tell a parable because he was near Jerusalem. And because they supposed that the kingdom of God was to appear immediately. He said, therefore, a nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and then return. Calling 10 of his servants, he gave them 10 minas and said to them, engage in business until I come. All right? Verse 15, skipping to that. When he returned, having received the kingdom, he ordered these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know what they had gained by doing business. Okay, so, and I'm not going to read everything, but one of the servants comes back and says, I have 10 more. And he says, wow, that kingdom I just went and received, you're going to oversee 10 cities. Another says, I was able to work, engage in business, and get to 5. And the king, the Lord says, wow, well done, good and faithful servant. Another one, and this is what you should look at, says, all I got is the one you gave me. I hid it under a handkerchief because I was, and here's the key word, afraid. I was afraid. And he says, then I'm taking the one back from you. That wasn't the plan. And verse 26 says, I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given, but from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And so we understand verses like 1 Corinthians 4:2 that say, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. Who are we? Stewards. What must we do? Be found faithful. We're not owners, we're managers. Our time, talents, our treasure, it's God's. It's on loan. Our breath is on loan from our Creator. 1 Timothy 1, verse 6, we looked at this already, but I want you to think of it in terms of what we're talking about and your gift. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. How's your spiritual gift? Do you need to blow on it a little bit? You need to set some wood around it and fan it. How's the flame of God's Spirit in your life in this season? We have a role to play. We are to be stewards. We are to fan into flame the gift of God. We are not to hide it. it's not okay for Christ to return and us to say, here's the gift. Didn't really use it. Didn't even discover it. And it's not like a shame on you, don't do that type of thing. It's a, why would we ever want to do that? When there's this great adventure and this fulfilling journey of trusting in God, experiencing the Holy Spirit, and serving in the body of Christ. So let me show you this chart. I think this chart is a helpful sort of tool. And what I would encourage you to do is think about, where are you on this chart? So going upward is your growth in Christ. Going from this way to this way is your years in Christ. What drives growth, what drives you upward, is serving in the Holy Spirit in a way that is gift-oriented. Okay? When you continue to do that, you continue to grow. When you cease to do that, here's what happens. Burnout, plateau, or decline in your growth in Christ. And it happens through over-serving in a way where you're not being filled or engaging with the Holy Spirit. Or it happens through neglecting to serve. Through the myriad of excuses that we all have. Life is so busy. But as we neglect to serve, our walk with Christ plateaus or declines. And so consider how with each spiritual gift comes responsibility to use it. All right, just three quick points. Again, it was a 3-4-3. Here's three attitudes that are very important when using spiritual gifts. And then we're going to take an assessment together, so be ready for that. Number one, sacrifice. Sacrifice, meaning costly. Romans 12:1 says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do you see this verse? I mean, this is a verse maybe you've heard before, but look at it closely. He says, I want you to present your bodies. What does that mean? Your entire life. What part of you can you exclude if you're offering up your body? None. Your whole life. As a what? As a sacrifice. As a living sacrifice. Living means not reluctant, not sort of, well, I got forced into this, backed into a corner, but a willful living sacrifice. And the word sacrifice says it all. Costly. Sometimes we want to serve, we want to use our spiritual gifts, but we don't want it to be sacrificial. It's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Got a little sacrificial there, guys. We need to get the rotations a little better. I felt a little tinge of sacrifice. We need to make sure we get our rotations better, okay? We're called to bear one another's burdens. You know, the load is lighter, or the more people we get carrying it, don't want to have to sacrifice here. And again, I mean, I'm joking, because we want to be healthy, and we want to have a good rhythm, and we want to, you know, be all about the grace of God, right? But David says in 2 Samuel 24, verse 24, I will not sacrifice to the Lord and worship the Lord with what costs me nothing. The importance of sacrifice in our worship is crucial. Jesus and Paul said it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Number two, humility. Three attitudes that are very important when using spiritual gifts. Number one, sacrifice. Number two, humility, staying in Romans 12, verse 3. Humility means getting low. Getting low. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. And so when it comes to spiritual gifts, a really important attitude is humility. God, use me however you want to use me. Humility. Getting low. We're here to exalt Christ, not ourselves, not our gifts. May he become greater, may I become smaller. And the third attitude that's very important when using spiritual gifts is love. Is love. And we looked at this last Sunday in 1 Corinthians 13, the love passage. But again, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have and deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. What is love? Love is selflessly seeking the highest good of another. Love is you before me. So you know, sacrifice, it's costly. Humility, getting low. Love, you before me. These are attitudes that are important and crucial when using spiritual gifts. And so now I want to pass out these spiritual gift assessments. I'm going to ask a couple of ushers to grab them. They're on the windowsills here. So two ushers. And I want to give us about 10 minutes to do this. And let me just say, I know it's a little bit strange. We're going to play some music to make it a little less strange. But we don't do this every week, but we're doing it today. And so just have fun with it. If you don't want to take a test, maybe you get a little anxious in a room like this doing that. First of all, it's not a test. But second of all, you don't have to do this. You do not have to do this. You can just take it and put it in your Bible or put it in your pocket. And we will assume that means you're going to do it better than everyone else. You're just going to do it later. Okay? There's no judgment. There's no sort of forcing you to do it. And you don't have to do it. So we could also meet up later and do it together. That would be maybe less intimidating, perhaps. I'm just kidding. So, but listen, I'm going to give this out. And then I'm going to give us about 5 to 10 minutes to work on it together. There is a part of it that is just sort of some creative questions to get at your natural abilities and your personality. And then on the back side of it, there are some questions that really get at, you know, maybe the more spiritual side of it, of what God has done through you. And so get into it a little bit. You may not finish, and that's okay. Write your name on the front. You see, I provided a little spot there for you to write your name. We don't want anybody getting confused and taking someone else's spiritual gift. So take some time for this. And as you're sort of diving into it, you begin to look up at the screen. You're going to see a table with some of the ways to serve with the gifts at our church. So go ahead. Let me just say a couple things real quick. One is maybe you might think, where would be a good place to discuss this? And I actually want to just really mention that, again, it was mentioned in announcements, but we're launching our 8 fellowship groups right now. So, and we're going to be discussing and unpacking this more in fellowship groups this week. So it'd be great for you to visit the group nearest you or that works with your schedule. Okay, so you see, let's do a little poll. Did anybody not have one? I'm just kidding. So, let's just have a fun poll. If A, giving was in your top 3, could you hold up your hand? Okay, so you see the diversity of gifts. If B, administration was in your top 3, could you hold up your hand? Yep. Teaching in your top 3, anybody? Okay, yeah. Exhortation. Yep. And mercy. Wow. A lot of people with the gift of mercy. Prophecy. Yeah. All right, you bunch of weirdos. I'm just kidding. totally joking. We're talking here with prophecy about speaking the word of God and discernment into a situation. It's a great gift. Serving. Serving. Oftentimes, a lot of people have the gift of serving, and it's very, very excellent spiritual gift. And so on the back page, you see the questions for further reflection. And you may not have finished this part of it, but I'd encourage you to really take some time thinking about these answers, because this is where you can go a little bit further than just what that sort of test shows you, and really prayerfully think about what has God done in your life and shown you. A question like, you know, is there an ability that you have, I'm looking at number 2, now that you did not have before you gave your life to Christ and became active in the church, you know, a former weakness that's been turned into a strength when you're sort of prayed up and trusting in the Lord. So insights like that are really helpful as we seek to serve the Lord in our spiritual gifts. You see the slide with the ways to serve. You know, one of the things about Fellowship Raleigh, we're taking steps of faith this fall. We're going to 2 services. And so double all those numbers, right? Even more than double, because, you know, we don't want everyone serving every single week in those areas, but one of the things about Fellowship Raleigh is that we're a smaller church. And so on the one hand, we don't have that many ways to serve, which might be frustrating to some, but the good side of it is it's profoundly simple to find where to serve. Like, I could take this slide down and you could probably remember most of the things that are there. And so really, hopefully it's simple enough that you see, like, this is how I could be serving. And these are just our Sunday teams, but we do ask that everyone who considers this their church home serve on a Sunday ministry team. You know, is using your spiritual gift more than that? Absolutely, it's more than that. But what we're trying to say is we don't want it to be less than that at Fellowship Raleigh. When we come together as the body of Christ, gathered together, using our gifts, we want to all be serving in some way if we can. All right? So please look at this and think about, how do you fit in? Where do I belong? And then just the big action step for us, and I want to have the band come back up and lead us in one more song. You guys can go ahead and make your way. But the big action step is for you to take. I wish it were like you could just submit this online and we'll do the rest. But it's really not like that in life and in Scripture. You know, God has given you a gift, and He has called you to use it faithfully. He has called the leadership of our church to come alongside you and help you do that. But we're not going to chase everyone down. We're not going to be at your doorstep this afternoon. You've got to get more plugged in. You've got to get more aligned with your spiritual gift that God has given you. And that's an exciting journey in the Christian life. And so I'll close with this verse, 1 Peter 4, verse 10. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace.